That is why when he came, he said that all authority has been given unto me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he rose up, he said, all authority has been given unto me. So it says that to you that the child was born, to you that the son was given, upon this son shall be all authority. Say the government shall be. Now, it's not a government. It's please pay attention. It's not a government. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He's not going to rule over America alone. He's not going to rule over Russia. He's not going to rule over Africa. It's like, oh, people in Africa, they must serve God. No. All authority shall be. Are you okay, Rachel? Okay. All authority shall be upon his shoulder. It is cast in stone. Why am I saying that? Look at it. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. How many of you have had a moment when somebody has come to you to seek counsel before? You have? Do you know why? Because unto you, the child was born. And unto you, the son has been given. And when you received him, you automatically become a wonderful counselor. Are you with me? You automatically become. You may not display it. You may not be working in it. But according to God and his purpose and his intention, you are. That's why he gave his son. Unto us. Enoch, unto you. That's been given. It's there. You have it. Are you working in it fully? Maybe not so. But it's there. And if you activate it, it's manifesting. Do you hear what I said? Which are you sleeping? Oh, good. Yeah. If you are sleeping, make sure that you stand. It's very important. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God, that's why Paul prayed. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Why? Because the Mighty God, the Son, has been given to you. The power is there. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Goodness, praise quickly. Then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's never going to end. As it's not going to end. The increase of his authority, of his influence that has begun in you, is going to extend. And it's not going to end. And nobody can stop it. I said, nobody can stop it. Please, I'm not speaking to your mind. I'm not lecturing. I'm speaking that with the spirit. See, the words I speak unto their spirit and their life. I find a difference between lecturing and preaching. It's when I'm speaking to you, it's going past your mind. So it seems as if, what are you talking about? I'm not seeing anything. It's not to your mind. Because your mind does not agree with that which is spirit. Cannot go to it. For a natural man, receive it not. But I'm speaking past your mind to your spirit. Receive it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it. It's the peace of God. It's the increase of his government, his counsel, his authority, his power that orders everything, that establishes everything. So anything that a man has conjured and is trying to establish, give it a few months, give it a few years. Nobody can make anything be unless the will and the intention of the Son is being manifested. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if anybody brings any accusation against you, you can look at him and say,
no worries.
So why no worries? Why no troubles? The one upon whom the increase of his government shall never end, he's the one who is authorized to order everything and anything. And establish it. So if he's not engineering it, you can laugh. You can laugh at it in his face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you receiving this thing?
Yes.
I'm preaching though.
Yes.
It pains me that it's not recorded because I'm
recording.
Very good. Because my phone can do that. I was going to give you my phone. Hallelujah. to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, 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 eternity, ages upon ages, he will establish all that which is right and righteous and just. And it says, why so sure that this shall be the case? Because the Bible says that the zeal of the Lord, the passionate intention and purposes of the Father shall establish it. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Amen. The zeal of the Lord, Chris, shall establish it. God does not require how hard you are trying. How hard you are trying to believe. He does not require it. No. His own zeal, Auntie. It's not how long, how much you have prayed for God to do that. The zeal of the Lord will establish it. How many of you have been so hungry before? And then a food that you desire so much has been served you. How many of you can see that even before you open your, even before the food enters your mouth, some fluid is already coming out of your mouth? Why? Because your whole hormones are geared up to embrace, like to swallow this that is coming. It's like, they call it, no, not insults you, because it's like you're longing for it so much and it's been served, you cannot wait. That's like how a child wants to take the mother's breast milk. You get it? Before the thing is laid, no. I mean, the thing is not there already, it's not there yet. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the zeal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you see, what is the relevance of this? What's the relevance of all this? Because the gift of God, it keeps giving. It keeps on giving. God spoke his will, and it's fulfilling it from before creation. And God is still working, even when you can't see it. You know that song, Waymaker, Miracle, what is it? Then it says that he is working even when you don't see it. It's so true. He is at work even when you cannot see it. He's at work. Are you with me? So, you say, why are you so sure about this? Let me just give you an example. Number one. Do you know that it was God who orchestrated Rome to bring the tax, to use the tax to force Mary, who was pregnant, to go to Bethlehem? Do you know that? Let me show you why. Give me Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Give me that scripture, please. Micah 5, verse 2. Let's pay attention. I want you to see that there is nothing that is an accident. There is nothing that is just happening. No. Everything is orchestrated by God to establish his will and his purpose. Oh my goodness. Are you ready for this coming? This is one of the most powerful words that you are going to receive. It says, is that Micah 5 verse 2? But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, look at it. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah. I like that word. How many of you like that word? It says, but thou, Bethlehem, say with me, Bethlehem Ephrathah.
Bethlehem Ephrathah.
Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from when? From when? And from everlasting. Is he talking about David?
No.
It can't be. Who's talking about?
Jesus.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Pay attention. So God had purposed before Jesus was born. This is the Old Testament. Micah. He had purposed that his seed, the Son of God, would be born where? In Bethlehem. So at the time when Mary was full, that's what I wanted to watch that thing, you would have loved. As I was going to share this, you would have loved it more. So when Mary was full, her stomach was so full with child. The child is about to drop off. The Roman people established that the taxes has to be paid, and it has to be paid all the way in Bethlehem, everybody's native country. Are you with me? So they had to, Joseph was forced to take this pregnant woman who can drop the child anytime, to take this journey, to make this journey. Are you with me? Yeah. How many of you can see that there was no accident at all? Because the will of God had to be established. Can you see it? Guys, have your attention. I don't know if you are as excited as I am at what God is doing, because you're going to find out something that you are also not on accident. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1. God orchestrates all. Jesus and you. That is why when we read a scripture, we read another portion. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In who? In Christ. We, say I.
I
have obtained an inheritance.
I have obtained an inheritance.
In Christ.
In Christ.
What do you have to do to obtain inheritance? When you put in Christ, you obtain it. Just like when your child is born, automatically he enters into an inheritance. True or false? What does your child have to do to enter into an inheritance?
Nothing.
Why?
It's a child.
It's a child born of the Father. Hallelujah. So in Christ also, you and I, we have received an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. You were predestinated according to the purpose of God. Who does what? He worketh. How many things? How many things? How many things, mommy? Are you paying attention? Are you sleepy? Good. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. No consultation with anybody. What does it mean? It means that you are also not an accident. And where you were born, to the parents that you were born, and the time that you were born, is no accident. Why? The Father is working all things according to his own purpose and according to the counsel of his own will. Are you with me? Now, you're going to understand and appreciate this even better, because you will find out something very, very soon. So say with me, I was born to the correct family.
I was born to the correct family.
To the correct exact location.
In the correct exact location.
At the correct exact time.
Exact time.
According to his purpose.
According to his
purpose. And grace.
And grace.
Before creation.
Before creation.
And this was to fulfill my calling.
And this was to fulfill my calling.
Paul was born at the time that he was born to fulfill his calling, so that the writings. Are you with me? And that's the reason why he was not born as Jesus. I mean, he didn't matter. In the time when Jesus was walking the earth, as in being crucified and all that, he came only after Jesus had died. Does that make sense? So you would notice that his ministration was to the church. Peter's ministration was more to the Jews. Are you with me? Why? To fulfill God's own purpose according to his own counsel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, sit quietly, sit quietly. Go and sit with daddy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Please pay attention. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Because the first thing, because there are so many parallels between you and Jesus that I need you to see. And once you see it, you become at peace. You don't struggle anymore. If you don't see it, you will always struggle to become something that you were never supposed to be. Competition comes in. And you suffer. You get frustrated. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, who has saved us? Notice it doesn't say who will save us. It says he has saved us and called us with an holy what?
Calling.
Wow! Notice that the one who has been saved is the one who has been called. You were saved because God's intention was to call you. Hallelujah. Amen. So how many of you have been saved? How many of you have been called? Wow. Rachel, stand up and go stand in the back. I don't want you to sleep. I need you to hear this. Now look at it too. He has not only saved us, but he has called us with an holy calling. Say, I have been called with an holy calling. Now notice the rest says, not according to our works. It has nothing to do with what you did right or did not do right. It is not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So not only does he call you according to his purpose, but he supplies the grace to establish the calling. What do you think? Isn't it powerful? Wow. And this purpose and grace, notice when it was given us. It says, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? When?
Before the world began.
Does it matter the opinion of your colleague concerning who you are and what you are and what you are about? So why is that when somebody despises you, why is this when somebody does not give you the due recognition, why is it hurt? It's because you don't know this. You don't know that you were he saved you and he called you according to his own purpose. How many of you can see that? How many of you know that God's purposes are good?
Yeah.
Are they very good? Did they bring life? So you were called and you were saved according to his own purpose and the supply of his own grace to bring it to pass. And he says that it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So what is happening to you right now? It's not an indication of what is going to be. What is going to be tomorrow and next year is according to what he purposed even before you were born. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter how somebody has messed up his life. You can look at this and say, my brother, you don't know. You have no clue. Your frustration is because you have no idea. But how many of you know that even though we don't know that he's working, he's still working?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Now number two. So number one was that fact that God orchestrates all things. He did it for Jesus and he is doing it for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two is that Mary received. What is it that Mary received? Let's read Luke chapter 1. Let's read from verse 30. Let me just read it quickly. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 1. That's it. You can give it to me if you want. Luke chapter 1. From verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power, are you with me?
Yes.
The power of the highest, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, as this, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, the one who was said to be barren, has already conceived, and is already 6 months old. But I want you to notice the response of Mary. And it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say with me, for with God.
For with God.
How many of you know that God is with you? So what shall be impossible? So why are you troubled sometimes? Can you see that from the enemy? He doesn't want you to believe what is true. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So immediately, look at the response of Mary. Next verse, look at the response. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? According to what? So what did Mary receive? Now, you say, why is he so excited? Because I want to share something with you. Can you imagine if Mary had said, look, this is so far-fetched, this is not reasonable, doesn't make sense, doesn't happen in our world, so you know what, you come again another time and try and get me to understand this thing. Mm-hmm. Because truly, it has never happened before. I mean, there's no woman, she was dead, no, you see her next time she's pregnant, and nothing happened. No! He said, you didn't see any man? Nah, lie! Liar, like, they will whip her. The mother will say, where did you go? Who is the guy? Are you with me? Yeah. Who did this to you? She did it to herself. Wow, hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, but she received the word. All that Mary had to do was to receive the word. Do you know that when you also receive the word, so when Mary received the word, then the Son of God was born. He received the Son of God. Why? The Son was the word. Remember, he became flesh. The word, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He became flesh and did what? Dwelt. So when why can't the flesh take care when she's going to the bathroom? Okay, it's okay. Yeah. Are you with me? What did she receive? She received the Son of God, who was the Word, because the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. When you also receive, she received the Son. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you must pay particular attention. Now, all Mary did was just to receive. She had no idea that she was receiving the Lamb of God who was to take away the sin of the world. Look at the mockery she had to endure from gossipers and all that. But God was setting her up for greatness which she couldn't fathom. No, Aaron, sit down. Now, are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes.
How many of you have been how many of you have taken a stand for Jesus and it's so embarrassing? Do you have any idea that when Mary received the word of God, do you have any idea the mockery? She, do you know those times they had to go and, you get water in your own house. They had to carry this vessel to go and fetch water from a common place. And the woman do it at a particular time of day. Can you imagine as you are trying to go and fetch water to come and attend to your chores, the woman next to you, have you heard? Oh, it's coming. Can you imagine? But you know that she was being set up for grace and for greatness. And God knew that she would be subjected to mockery and gossipers would talk. I said, no, no. Are you going to receive what I sold you? Or are you going to, you're going to choose the honor? Wow. Are you with me?
Yes.
But the Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. If you don't believe on his name, which were born, listen to this, John 1 verse 12. John 1 verse 12. Now, please pay attention because I'm going to share something that you must connect and see it. John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name, which were born. John 1 12. Are you paying attention? John 1 12. Now verse 13. Is that still there?
Yes, he's there.
No, I think he's sleeping.
Oh, okay.
Look at verse 13. Something's happened to the device. I think it's still there. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when you receive the Son, I said, stay right there, don't come in. Stay right there, just keep standing, okay? I want you to stand and pay attention. Now, listen. It says, they were born, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Just as no man was involved with the birth of Jesus. Likewise, when you also receive the Son, it has nothing to do with the will. It is what God purposed, which he executed. And all you do is receive it. And you are born of God. You see, what is the confirmation here? What's the scripture? I think it's 1 Peter. Ah, okay, we'll get there in a moment. So Mary received. What about you? You also received. And as soon as you receive it, you become the carrier of the Son of God. The life of God now enters you. Are you with me? And you become a possessor of the very life, the eternal life of God. So Mary received, you also received. Please, I want you to see the parallels. Are you with me so far? Number three, the angels. Angels of Jesus. How many of you realize that there were angels involved with the birth of Jesus and also the death of Jesus? Do you know that when Jesus died, anybody who went to the tomb met the angels? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Now, you see, what is it about this, about the angels and all that? It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. That is Luke 2 verse 8. Yeah. Don't worry. Let me just read quickly. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many people? The great joy shall be to all people. Does it include you? Wow. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Do you know that the shepherds who were in the field, when they heard the word swaddling clothes, do you know that their mind went straight to a particular place where the Paschal lamb, or the lamb that is, or the Passover lamb, was slaughtered? Because that's the only place where you find swaddling clothes. And they use the swaddling clothes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
They use the swaddling clothes to tie the feet of the lamb so that there will be no injury. The lamb that has to be sacrificed. they used the swaddling clothes. So when the angel appeared to the shepherd, then they mentioned that he's going to be born one in a manger. That is, a manger basically means the place where the sheep come to drink water and are fed. So the troughs, that's where they all are. So when he mentioned manger and swaddling clothes, because they were shepherds, they knew exactly what that would be. And immediately they acknowledged that the Savior, it is the Savior. It's the Savior. And so they went running there. Oh, I wish you could see the movie. They ran and then told Mary exactly what they heard. And Mary, when Mary heard it, you know, she just was harboring it in her mind. So, wow. So now, listen up. Listen, you will notice that both the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus was surrounded by angels. So what is this deal about angels? Well, give me a scripture, please. Matthew 18, verse 10. Give me a scripture, please. Matthew 18. What is the significance of these angels to you? Please, I want you to see the parallels. Because once you see the parallels, you will become at peace. Look at Matthew 18. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, who's speaking? Jesus. That in heaven, they are who? Whose angels? Say my angels. So it says that, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So can you imagine? God is saying that your angels are ever present before me, beholding my face. Who can touch you? You say, oh, this child, I mean, what is this child? Say, hey, don't despise that little thing. So please, be careful with your life. Because your angels are ever beholding. The Bible says that is why you can. See, we need to understand that angels are ministering spirits sent for the heirs of salvation or the heirs of redemption. So we can see right here and right now that we've got so much more of those that are with us. Because listen. How many angels fell with Lucifer? One third. So if one third of the angels that fell with Lucifer can wreak such a havoc that affects all humanity, what about the two-thirds? Please, Angie, what about the two-thirds? So can you agree with me when the Lord says that not only is the greater one in you, but many are those who are for you than those who are against you. Listen, just see it. If one third of the angels fell and they are wreaking such havoc, what about the two-thirds who never fell? Who are still doing the pleasure of the Father and of the Lord? So many of those, the angels who are about you to defend you and to prevent you from your life being cut short before the day, they are many. That's what they watched over me when I was going to the accident. Have them. You have them. So when your child goes away, you should have confidence that the angels have been dispatched and they are his angels are on guard for his sake. She must have confidence, otherwise she will, your heart palpitating for nothing. Because you have no respect for the angels. You don't see them, but he's working. Say, even though I don't see them, they are to work for me. I'm comforted. Can I see the protection that belongs to you? It says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Don't despise. Say, oh, look at you. You poor black African boy. Go to your country. No problem. The angels, you have no idea. They are on guard for my sake. No problem. Are you with me? Don't be troubled. No. So not only do we have the greater one in us, but we have an angelic host present with us to execute his purpose. God has dispensed his angels to protect and to bring his word to performance in your life. Number four, Jesus' birth. How many of you have gotten the thing so far? Number one was what? Number one, remember what we said about number one? That God orchestrates all things. Number two, that Mary received and you also received. That number three, there are angels with Jesus and there are angels with you. Do you see it? Now number four, we're going to close very soon. Number four, the birth of Jesus and your birth. Say, what are the similarities? Look at this. This is very important. The birth of Jesus and your birth. Wow. How many of you know that everybody has two births? Let me tell you what it means. Give me a scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Do you remember we just read that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given? Remember? You remember? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Are you there? It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. How many of you were born? How many of you have a birth date? As a matter of fact, your social security, anytime they ask for your social security, the next thing they ask to confirm that you are a signatory to this identity is what is your date of birth. True or false? Hallelujah. Very good. Yes. Now, were all of you born?
Yes.
Now, when you were born, how many of you have a birth date? Everybody has a birth date?
Yes.
The day that you were born of a corruptible seed. That is why you had to be born again, but this time of what? Incorruptible seed. So when Jesus, the Son of Man, was born, it was because of the corruption that had passed over all men. So he also had to be born and become everything that you were. Does that make sense? And die by taking your corruption into himself and dying with you to end you. Does that make sense? And when he was ended, then he was born again from where? In hell. What's his name? The firstborn from the dead. That was when we were born again. So we were also born again. What did Mary receive?
The word.
When you also receive that word, then you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And it says, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Are you liking this thing? So now, any is born again of incorruptible seed. You can never kill her. No, you can touch the body. But any, the person, untouchable. Atoa, you get it? You get it? Nobody can kill you. Have you received Jesus? You have, right? Okay, we receive him again.
I know he has. She has.
Have confidence. You have to have the confidence that I've received Jesus. Hallelujah. So you are born again, not of corrupt, no more of the corruptible seed. So now, because everybody was born initially of corruption, it didn't matter where you were born. It didn't matter to whom you were born. It didn't matter what country, what place, what area. Your education couldn't help you. None of these. The benefits and the... So somebody says, oh, my birth is not significant. I'm not like all these other people who were born and privileged with all these favors. It doesn't matter because none of these things add anything to your life. It's only when you are born again of incorruptible seed, which comes by just receiving the good news, then now your life has begun. Does that make sense? Wow. How many of you can see that Jesus' birth was just like your birth? Wow. So the son, I mean the son of man, the child, was born just like every one of us. But the son was given. You also, you were born. And then you received the son. Does that make sense? Wow. Wow. Now, I'm going to share the last one with you and then we go. Give me John 8, verse 12. Give me John, Jesus, the light. And now, is your light. That's the last one I wanted to share. Say, are you there? John 8, verse 12. Jesus is the light. And now, you become the light. You say, what does it mean? Look at it. Are you paying attention? We are about to close, so please, just give me a few minutes. We are about to close. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Wow. Can we all read together? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the what?
The light of life.
The light of life. Wow. Now give me Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Remember Jesus said that he is the light of the world? And anyone who follows him shall not walk in darkness. Somebody may say, oh, I wish I was born in Jesus' time. No. You know I've received him, trust me. You have said crucified. You were born at the right time, okay? Now, the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 13, it says that you are the salt of the earth. Wow. You are the what?
The salt.
Now, do you know, we don't understand the scripture very well because, you know, this was in the Middle East. When Jesus was speaking, this was the Middle East. Do you know that in the Middle East, the temperature is so high that you need salt in your body constantly to survive, to live. And the day that the salt level falls, you know, those who work in the place where they do welding, all day welding and doing the fumes are coming in. Listen to me. You see, if those who work in the welding places, if you don't make sure that you one guy said that he will take in a tablet of salt every day, and he said that those who don't do that, you see them fall down. When the moment they fall down, you must drag him out quickly. If you delay, that's the end. He's dead. Wow. Because the salt level has dropped. Wow. He said, what? So besides water, the most essential. Listen, you can live days without protein. You can live days without glucose. I mean, as in eating and drinking something. But water, you can't. Salt, you can't. Especially in hot, arid areas. So this is that you are the salt of the earth. You are the preserving entities that keep the earth running and causing water to fall, and rain to fall, and sun to shine. It's because you are here, the rain must fall. Because you are here, the sun must shine. Because you are here, when you pass under the ground, there must be a germination. Why? You are this preserving power. You are. Wow.
Wow.
Say, I am the soul of the earth.
I am the soul.
You're taking me out. The earth is dead. He says, I don't know what I'm saying. He says, tell it. You see, you don't know who you are. You don't know even your worth and your value. And you let somebody tell you who your worth and your value is. Somebody employs you and say, I'll give you this $89,000 and say, yeah! You have much more worth than that. This is just so that you can just go and come and take it, pay the bill, that's all. But your sufficiency is of me. Hallelujah. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, where shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, go to next verse, verse 14. Then it goes on. You are the light of the world. You are. Remember he said that I am the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now he's saying that you are the light. He said, what? Wow. He says, you are the light of the world. Then he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, you see, what is the relevance of this? Listen, do you know, thinking about the verse 14, do you know, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Do you know that in the Middle East, when a nation comes and conquers this nation, I mean one nation, do you know that they pull down all the structures and build a new structure on the exact location, the exact place where they put all the structures? So any city that you see in those places, it is actually a city sitting on the cities. And the city becomes a hill because there are so many cities underneath it. Does that make sense? And he says that a city that is set on the hill, it cannot be hid. It cannot be hid. Why is Jesus comparing the light, and now you being the light, and now you being a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid? Why is he saying that? What is the relevance? How many of you have been so frustrated that you wonder if your life is worth anything? How many of you have considered, is this life even worth continuing? Is this, I'm tired. How many of you have considered moments of discouragement and all that? Oh, please. Yeah. You're not real if you're not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You're tired. This. Listen to me. You know, let me tell you something. Number one, you are a light. Please listen to this. I'm closing. I need to understand. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
Nasser, where are you? Are you listening? You are a light. You see, I have no light in my life. My life is insignificant. No. There is nothing to show. No. That is the lie of the enemy. Do you know that everybody looks at you? Listen to what I'm saying. Do you know that everybody looks at your attitude? Do you know that everybody listens to what you have to say? Do you know that everybody looks at how you react to situations? Do you know that everybody looks at your temperament? Do you know that they may not voice their opinions, but they cannot ignore what they see? Are you with me? Are you with me? Why? Because you are light. You didn't get it. You are a light. Let me tell you something. Wow. Somebody brings a terrible accusation against you, and everybody is waiting to see how you will react. And instead of going ballistic and defensive, you acknowledge the purpose and the grace to accomplish everything that God has said regarding you, and then you become cool. Are you with me? You become so cool, and somebody next to you say, "What? Oh, don't you want to prove to him that he's a fool? That you are some." Why? Because at that time you acknowledge that the one who is working all things according to his own purpose, and who was supplied the grace to establish that purpose which was purpose before the foundations of the earth was formed, he is still on his throne. He has not changed his mind. And it's not according to our works. You know, it's not according to how well you did, how much well you have obeyed, or this. It has nothing to do with that. That's why God said the gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. So you acknowledge it immediately. You take your ease. And you're even willing to say, oh, if I did anything to offend you, oh, I'm so sorry. They look at you and say, what are you? How many of you can say that once the people come to the place where you work at, they're so happy when they find you. They're so happy when they interact with you. True or false? Remember how the old people, when you come, you say, oh, my husband is coming and all that. Because, listen, they see the love pouring out of you because you are light. And you can't hide it. And by the way, I mentioned the city, right? Listen, do you have any idea how many things you have overcome? You are a city. You are a light set on the city. You overcome the discouragement. You overcome the rejection. You overcome the worthlessness. You overcome the guilt. You overcome that the enemy threw against you. All those things that wanted to take you off. Do you know why people drink? Do you know why people drink? Out of the abundance of frustration, they need a break to quieten their soul. Of course, to no avail. And then you find somebody who has stopped drinking. He has overcome that discouragement, that voice of discouraging, that voice of uselessness, that life is not really worth it. You've overcome it. That moment, that what somebody said. Everybody, can you hear me? Can you hear? Good. What somebody said, what somebody did. None of this. You are a city. You are a light set on a city. None of them could take you out, Angie. None of the accusations of the enemy could take you out. Now look at you. A choice. A tree. Planted. Wow. Somebody says, oh, this person didn't like me. They don't like me. Their mother, look at what they have done against me. Oh, none of them. Why? Because the Bible says that no one can do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Oh, guys, I don't know if you guys are receiving this thing. So you keep your cool and you are not disturbed. Say with me. Everybody, let's rise to our feet and say with me. Remember, Jesus said that let your light. Oh, yeah, go on, read it. Give me the verse. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Of they're coming. That are in the house. Then it says, verse, good. It says, let your light so shine before who? Let your light. Let what shine?
Your light.
Wow. Do you see it? Now say, call for me. If the baby has stopped crying. Is it crying? Oh, okay. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The moment you acknowledge that you have a light, that is when you don't come under any influence. The moment you acknowledge that you are a light, that is when you don't allow yourself to come under whatever has been thrown against you. Then it says, let that light shine. Who lets the light shine? You. Can you let something be that is not already? If I say right now, Eric, bring the aeroplane. What does that mean? You have the aeroplane. Bring the aeroplane. Don't you have the aeroplane? If you don't have it, then I shouldn't. So when God said that, master this thing. There's light and power inside you to master it. And he gave it to you, and he knows what you have. Are you understand what I'm saying? So because I know what he has, I said, bring the aeroplane. Let's fly together. Let me say, bring the Mercedes and let's drive together. Why? Because I know what you have. I told my child, I told Emmy that they have to go and buy some stuff from Kroger. And Emmy says, but they can't drive. And I was going to tell her, am I not your father? Don't I know that you have not gotten the license yet? Are you with me? So why would I put a burden on you? So I wasn't referring to her driving, I was referring to the older sister driving, and then she, are you with me? So you must have respect to who he's saying and what he's saying, and have respect for what he knows. And don't just not respond anyhow, but God, I can anyway. So Mary, all Mary asked was, how can it be? Not, what are you saying? What did you say? You know how we behave? Oh, please put that aside. Don't do that. Don't do that. You must have respect. When daddy says this, daddy knows who you are and what he has endowed you with. And so he said, go and fetch this for me. Because he knows what you can do. Right? Are you understand what I'm saying? So when God sits and lets your light shine, he knows that the light is already buried inside you and is there. And now it's not only his light, it's your light. He said, let it so shine before men that they may see your good works. He knows that you have it. Wow. So say with me, it's my light.
It's my light.
I am gonna let it shine before men. And they are gonna give praise to my Father in heaven. Because they get to see my good works. Wow. Tell your neighbor, I live in the light. As he is in the light. And I have sweet fellowship. Tell the person, you can trust me. There is no evil report in my life. There is no offense. There is no accusation. I am never discouraged. I am always empowered. I am strong in the Lord. I let my light shine. Everybody around me sees the light and enjoys the light. Now, how many of you know that there's nobody who embraces your light? But you know something? Those who do not embrace your light. How many of you know that it's not everybody who embraces your light? No, it's true. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. There's some people who will not embrace. But you know the truth? Anybody who does not embrace your light will only come back and be forced to embrace it. Why? Because Jesus said that you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So they will, out of frustration, they will find out that, well, that's the only way. It's there. Life is there. I'm being forced. So don't worry about what is brought against you. No. Don't worry. Just stay on your knowledge of what is true. That you are the light. Let it shine. Listen to me. You are a light. And if you don't let it shine. You see, listen to me. Everybody is looking at your attitude. Everybody is looking at your countenance. Everybody is looking at your response. Listen to me. Wherever you are, everybody's looking at it. If you let the light shine, they will give praise to your Father in heaven. Sometimes I'm at work and he said, oh, I saw your card. I'm so glad that you are working today. I'm coming with my shot. I don't want anybody to give me a shot. I say, oh, please. You make my work too difficult because all these people. Sometimes I'm working. I'm so tired. I'm so busy throughout because they don't want to get their shot. Yeah, oh, my goodness. It's too much, but it's all grace. The grace of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just because you respect the life that's standing before you. And that you're not dealing with them according to what is wrong with them, but according to what the Father says regarding their lives. Guys, I get what the Father says. So can you see the similarities between you and Jesus? Can you see it? That God orchestrated every part of his life, just like you. All Mary did was to receive it, just like you also receive it. Wow. And begin to walk in it. He was the light, and now you are the light. Wow! A city on the salt. And now, he was the salt. Now, he is the salt. And now, you are the salt. Wow! Put your hands together for Jesus. Ah. Are you blessed by gospel today? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Why don't you just begin to just give thanks unto the Father for Jesus, for the perfect gift. That's who you are. That's what he has done for us. That is what he has made us. Father, we thank you and we bless you that now we are sons brought into fellowship with you because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you honor. Say, I receive the Son. I receive the life. And now I walk in light. Because I have the light. I am now the light. It is because Father put me in the Son. And now I walk in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Let's put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you.
And let's take our offering for the orphanage.
That's a good video.
Judgment that was due us and that is due us has already been